The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. Today's date, for me at least, is March 10th, 2025, a nice Monday, here in the glorious state of Idaho. It's really beautiful outside. What's really nice here is that the humidity is always so low that when it's 60 out there, it feels like 70, and when it's 30, it feels like 40. It's really nice. It's really nice nice thing we have here in Idaho. Oops, there goes my video. I don't know why that did that, but I'll just, there we go. Let's try that. All right. Now, if you want to participate in our chat room, and we have a chat that we do in Rumble, you can join us. Just go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, all one word, and you can join us there. It's a lot of fun. I get a lot of laughs out of some of the things people say in there. It's a good community of people, godly people. For the most part, sometimes we get some obstreperous individuals who come in there, and they're just obstreperous. And you can call me up and say, "What does that mean?" And I'll tell you. All right. So let's see. What else is there? Oh man. Oh, there we go. That's over there. I think it's about it. Now, I had some interesting discussions this weekend online. As you know, I do a lot of online stuff, and it's interesting to see how people react and what they think, what they say, according to what they believe the Bible says. And I was listening to a video about something, and it gave me an idea about something else. And I may share that a little bit later today. I like it when one thing triggers another thing. And I get these thoughts, get these ideas in my head. Oh. So, anyway, if you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. You give me a call. You can also send me an email. All you have to do is dial, or it's not dial, an email be at info@carm.org. info@carm, carm.org. And give me a call. I mean, oh man, I got so many things going on. Sorry about that. Put in the subject line of the email, radio comment, radio question. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on. All right, let's get to the first caller. Bob from Buffalo, New York. Bob, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you there, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. I've been doing a little research on the different denominations of the Christian church.
Okay.
I'm having a little bit of a difficulty with the Anglican church, and I was looking for some information on that.
What do you want to know?
Is it a church that you would recommend? Does it have problems? What the problems might be?
No, I don't recommend it. I haven't done an in-depth soteriological study. Let's see. I'm going to do this. Just do a little search. But the Anglican church has not come on my radar very often because it's not that heretical. It's not like it's Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches, which are just flat-out heretical and are false churches. The Anglican Church does much better. But I personally don't like it. This is subjective, because I don't like the churchianity, okay, the high church-ishness in it. And with that often comes a form of legalism, and I'm not down for that. So they do affirm that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and not by works. And the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church both teach salvation is by faith and works, a combination. But the Anglican, from what I understand, does not do that. And it does hold to sola scriptura as a final authority. So, you know, it's within the Orthodox, good Orthodox realm. But I don't know. There's something in the back of my mind. It's a little too high church-ish. for my tastes, and some smells and bells and things like that, and those things like that just always dissuade me from attending, because I can't help but wonder if people are more entranced in the ritualistic church-ishness than the Lord Jesus. And that's the thing that I have issues with. So you can tell it's a subjective kind of a thing, but not really based on anything doctrinally you have to really worry about. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was wondering about it because from what little bit of research I've done, it seems that it was formed by King Henry VIII so that he could divorce his wife and get away from the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Let's say that's the case, and that it's got a bad origin. We have to be careful that we don't commit what's called the genetic fallacy. Henry VIII did this for the wrong reason. Therefore, the entire Anglican Church is false. That would be a bad logic. The issue is, what has happened since then? Are they within orthodoxy? They certainly seem to be. They affirm the Trinity, the deity of Christ, justification by faith alone, through Christ alone. They have the two sacraments of baptism and the communion supper. Now, the questions I would have, the issue of the Eucharist. Now, this is something that is a real concern, because the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church both have false views of the Eucharist. They say it becomes the body and blood of Christ. The Anglican Church doesn't do that, but within Anglicanism, there has been, in my past exposure to it, there has been a little bit of a leaning in some of the areas towards something like that. Now, I'm very vague because I'm just doing from memory. Like I said, the Anglican Church hasn't come up very often, so I haven't had to research it, but maybe I will now because you brought it up, and I want to know my stuff better. So that's an issue. The other issue is baptism necessary for salvation in the Anglican Church? Of what I understand, it's not. So this is good. It's good. And I knew a guy once who was going into the Anglican Church, and I tried to dissuade him a little. It wasn't really, you know, too hard of a try. It's like, why are you doing that? What's the reason? He liked the high churchness and the authenticity and smells and bells and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay.
Right.
There you go. What kind of church are you looking for?
All right.
What are you looking for, though?
I'm looking for a good Bible-based, solid church.
Okay. If Charlie would put in the link again in the private chat for... I should have it someplace, but I always mess up. Wait, maybe I do have it, I think. There's a... Let's see, he'll put it in. I'll tell it what it is. There is a something done by... Yeah, there it is, by Master Seminary. And you can go there. I'll tell you what the URL is, and it's Find a Church. And they have good churches they recommend, and you can do it for your area. And the URL is tms.edu, themasterseminary.edu for education. So tms.edu/find a church, but there's a hyphen between each one, each word, find hyphen a hyphen church. So tms.edu, find a church. If you go there, you can check out the churches. Now, let me give you a recommendation, just a rule of thumb. You want to stay away from the Catholic Church, stay away from Eastern Orthodoxy. Both teach a false gospel, false priesthood, and a false Mary. All right, so you also want to stay away from churches and denominations that have the word united in it, except for United Reformed. That's the one exception I'm aware of. For some strange reason, denominations that say united, whatever it is, are just across the board liberal and not to be followed. So it's a good rule of thumb. Stay away from the Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, and any church with the word united in it, unless it's United Reform. That's the only one. And so that's a good start. You also want to make sure the church does not have any women pastors or women elders. And if they do, stay away. They're not believing the Word of God in that area. And 80% of the churches and denominations that adopt women pastors and elders within two generations start adopting homosexuality as a viable lifestyle. That's my own research. And so there you go. Between those, okay. And if you go to my website and just look up things to look for in a church, you can find another article that'll go in and discuss some other issues. Okay, and I know I'm giving you a lot. And if you are curious, you can, if you find a church you're interested in, call me up and say, hey, here's the website. Can you check it out real fast? I've done it many times over the year. I'd be happy to. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Do you have time for one more?
Sure. Go ahead.
My second question is, how should Protestants celebrate Lent?
I don't think they should. I don't see any reason to. I don't see anything in the Bible for that. I see nothing in it. It's a man-made tradition. Okay, just it's not there in the Bible. You there?
All right.
Seriously.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Okay, God bless. All right. Let's get next to, let's see, David from California. David, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. I'm assuming you've heard of the new Amazon Prime series about King David.
I haven't watched it, though.
Okay. Apparently, one of the things they ascribe to or say in this series is that David was an illegitimate son, and I guess one of the backings is because of Psalm 51, where he talks about being born in sin.
Yeah.
That happened. One, have you ever heard anybody try to say David was illegitimate and have any form of scriptural backing to that?
And no.
Is that
let's address that first. Let's address that first. One time. So that is a stupid use of that verse. In sin my mother conceived me. He's talking about his sinfulness and his fallen nature. That's what he's talking about. It's not adultery. It's not something else that he did is illegitimate. It's stupid. And I wish, it's one of the reasons I don't watch those things, because I start yelling at the TV, you idiot! And I don't want to break my TV, okay? So, because they don't, the liberals, I wish someone said, Matt, here's $1 million, do your own video on David. Okay, great. We'll get some good research in there and have it done right. And then I could be the star. Except we want good ratings, so we have to get somebody good looking, because I look like a bag of logs that, that's sitting in the sun and got moldy. All right.
Okay. My second thought is if they do put something stupid like that, even if the rest of the show is good, should I avoid something like avoid shows because of stuff like that, or give up the benefit of the doubt and move forward?
When they stupidify something that's really important, then you have to go there with the Bible. Okay, now what else are they going to do? It's like a church that ordains women, as ministers. Okay, they got that wrong. What else are they going to get wrong? You're not sticking with the Word of God. You're sticking with something else. So maybe I'll have to watch the David series now in order to see what else they do. It's just, it's to stupidify, to horrificify, make something horrific. It's just dumb. Why do they do that?
Yeah, David's got enough controversy. You don't need that.
They need a holy slap. Hey, hold on. We got a break coming up. Okay. All right. We'll be right back. After these messages, please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Hey, I just want to say thanks, Charlie, because Charlie's a good friend of mine, and he brought up something I didn't know, that the Anglican Church ordains women. So, therefore, don't go to the Anglican Church if they ordain women. And so I'm going to have to write an article on Anglicanism for that reason. So thanks again, Charlie. Charlie's awesome. Let's get back on with Dave. All right.
Hey, still here.
All right, good. So now what are we talking about? I don't remember. So now what?
Ranting about Psalm 51.
Yeah, it's a good psalm. and the stupidifiers. You know, it you can tell I don't have much patience with people who don't believe God's word, and then they change it with some stupid idea, and then he says in sin I was created. Oh, that means you're not created in sin if your mom and dad are legitimately married and have relations. No, we have a sinful nature. Romans 5:19. Because of through the transgression of the one, the many were made sinners. We were made sinners, and he understands that. 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Adam, all die. Ephesians 2:3. We are by nature children of wrath. Now, these are New Testament verses, but the Old Testament understood the depravity and sinfulness of man, which is why they needed sin offerings all the time. And I don't know the exact verses, but there's lots of verses in the Bible that talk about the depravity of man. Jeremiah 17:9, for example. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. No man can trust it. And there's verses in Proverbs that talk about the problems of our sin, enslavement of sin, and in Psalms. So for them to say that that's what that implies out of Psalm 51, it just need a tag team, okay, to go up to those writers and say, okay, come here for a second. And one guy gets on his knee, hands and knees behind somebody, and then the other guy pushes him over. Stop it. Okay. And stop it. You know?
I'm curious if you think we should avoid series like this when we find they do something asinine like that.
Well, you know, that's up to you. I watch those kinds of things on purpose sometimes because, one, if I'm tired and I'm sleepy, I watch them. I'm wide awake because I'm yelling at the TV. Or I do it because people might ask me on the TV, what is this? It's good. No, it's stupidification. You know, whatever it is. I have to know answers and things like that. So, but it's up to you. If you want to, you know, go through it. It's like The Chosen. I've been watching The Chosen. I'm way behind some of the stuff in the fourth season. But, you know, it's like I'm squinting my eyes every now and then. Particularly because as I'm watching the one about Peter. And Peter, and they always have it with his arms, you know, muscle arms shown. All the other disciples don't have, you know, muscular arms. They've got to show Peter, you know, with his muscle arms. I'm like, God, sheesh. That's what you want to talk about and have for the disciples. And the implication is him being a foundation, and they misunderstood what the text was about. And then they're promoting that. And then the guy who's playing Jesus is a Roman Catholic, and it's helping Catholicism out. So it's... stuff like that.
I heard the developers behind The Chosen were Mormon.
Some of them are Mormon. They're using connections with Mormons down in Utah. They have the Mormons have an area, from what I understand, about that the set they're using. That's what I understand. And it looks just like Utah. You know, I've been down there many times. Utah. I live in Idaho. And so that's the terrain that's there. And a good friend of mine, Bill McKeever, and a good friend, Eric Johnson, these are experts on Mormonism. I just talked to Bill a couple days ago. And, you know, we've talked about the show and the connection with the Mormons. And Bill is willing to talk to Jenkins. And others offered to talk to him about the Mormons are not Christians. Now, does it mean you can't use their facility? Well, that's a different issue. But he needs to know that they're not Christians. And if he does know that, and he's trying to use their facility for a greater good, I can get it. I can see that. So it just depends. Okay?
Okay. Well, that was more or less what I was curious about. I was having my wife and I were running through commentaries and different things, trying to sort out how in the world do you even twist that idea out of Psalm 51, because anybody who knows any theology or basic theology would not draw that conclusion, to my knowledge.
It's easy to do. All you need is a degree in theological doofism, and then you can do it.
That was my question.
Yeah, if you're a theological doofus, you can do it. It just makes me, you know, I get irked, you know. I should have a shirt. I get irked occasionally. You know, occasionally, I get irked by heresy.
Anyway, I gotta go. So I'll talk to you.
All right, Dave. All right, man. God bless. All right. See, I get irked. Hey, if you want to give me a call, the number is 877-27. What is it? 877-207. 2276. I've only said that 1,000 times. And sometimes I forget. You know, you just start saying it. Your brain's not even aware of it. It's just saying it. You don't know what you're saying sometimes. All right, let's get to Jermaine. Hey, Jermaine, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. How's it going today?
Oh, what's going, man? A lot better since you're on.
Well, yeah. Well, I had a question about racism. A lot of, I know it's a hot topic with a lot of folks, but are Christians ever justified in being racist? Not talking about just like a preference, but racist. And what inspires this question is I was actually at a family function, and one of, my in-law cousins, she actually, I thought, should have been applauded because she was struggling with homosexuality, and we've been praying for her, and she's left that lifestyle, and she's found a young man she likes. But the problem was, some of her family, he's from Africa, and he's darker than like your typical African American would be. And I mean, most of us believers had no issue with that, but there were some people making comments and prejudging this man based on purely how he looked. Like, you know, a couple of people, and the only reason I mention that is I expect that ignorance from people who are not followers of Christ, but some of these were confessing Christians. And I was really disappointed when I found this out. And thankfully, my wife wisely told me afterward, because I would have had to confront some people. But, you know, this I spoke with a young man. He hasn't hurt anybody. He's college educated. And like a lot of Africans, you know, speaks another language. And I didn't think that was fair, especially from believers. So
you're right.
I'm looking for a good way to gently rebuke some people who claim to be believers.
Well, so just say a white. It's easy. Just say a white guy on the radio named Slick says, "Stop it." Okay, that'll help a lot. Look, racism is okay when you believe there's only one race. I believe that's what it is. There's only one race. I don't believe in this idiocy of black, brown, white, green, whatever you want to call it. I don't believe in that. It's just one race. We're all people. We're all derived out of Adam and Eve. We're one race. We have different colors. We have different sizes, different shapes. That's it. That's how it is. And in fact, we have a friend. He's Asian. He's Korean. He was adopted, raised by just Caucasian people. And I think he's engaged to an African woman from Uganda. And we're like, yeah, praise God. I would do their wedding in a heartbeat. You know, no problem. We don't care. And I wouldn't care if my daughters married anybody who wasn't white-skinned. That's not the issue. And your friends should have the same issue. Would Jesus separate between them? Would Jesus say, I'm sorry, you can't marry each other because your skin color's different? It's stupidity. Hold on, we got a break. And we'll get back for some more stupidity. Not with Jermaine, but you know how it is.
Right at these words.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening. Bottom of the hour, I want to let you know that we stay on the air by your support, your donations. That's just how it works. I don't mention it very often. I like to trust my Lord. I just let people know what's going on. We pray about our support. And if you like the show, and if you would like to see it continue, please consider supporting us. It's easy to do. Just go to carm.org, carm.org, /donate, and all the information you need is right there. We ask $5, $10 a month, not very much. But if enough people do that, we can always pay our bills and keep the missionaries. We have two in Africa and two in South America who run various ministries and things down there related to CARM. And just get the gospel out there. So your donations, they don't just, you know, like here some groups, 80% goes to staff. That's not how it works here. Now, donations, they go as much as we can get. They go to paying the staff's salaries down there and over in Africa, and so that we can get as much done as we can. All right, let's get back on with Jermaine. Hey, buddy, you're on again.
All right. Well, you know, I appreciate your comments. And for me, I really have an issue when I don't care what they look like, but something I always wondered, a follow-up question, when people make those kinds of judgments, are they kind of judging God's creation? Because the way I see it, I don't really care about skin color. I care about believers. You know, believers in the Lord, and my brothers and sisters, and people who have taken care of me who can barely speak English sometimes. So I just wonder if that's kind of a, you know, if they're in dangerous territory where they're criticizing God's creation.
Yeah, and you're right. It's sad to see that we are so adept at just judging people by how they look instead of what's in their hearts. And we need to understand that people are souls, and they're going to be in heaven and hell. And in heaven, do you think skin color is going to make any difference? Do you think it's going to be segregated in heaven? To say such a thing would be just foolishness. It's going to be redemption. And all the prejudices and stupidity of our hearts and our minds will be gone. And that'll be one of the things that'll be great to see just be gone. And by the way, Moses married a Cushite woman. Now we assume Moses was, because I'm going to assume out of the history of the Jews, what we see as Jews, Caucasian. But Cushite is Ethiopia area. And so he married essentially a black woman. And no problem, God wasn't upset with that. Had nothing to do with skin color. So, as I said before, there's only one race, the human race, and that's how it is. We're just different shapes, colors, and me, I'm of the broken vessel clan with a side serving of look like a bag of logs. So, there you go, okay? And others have different subcategories that they fit into, but we're all, by God's grace, who are saved, saved by His grace, justified by His grace. And we need to just look at other people through the eyes of Christ, not through our own eyes. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate you.
Hey, man. Keep calling back, buddy. Anytime. All right. So that is Jermaine. He's always got good questions, good stuff. I always like it when he calls. All right. Let's get to Nate from California. Nate, welcome. You're on the air.
How are you, Matt? Do you hear me?
Yes, I can. I hear you fine, man.
Okay, yeah.
What do you got?
For some reason, I fixed the phone better this time.
Good.
You can understand me.
Yeah, no problem.
God bless.
God bless.
My question is this. Since the Jews don't believe in eternal hell,
do the who?
What is it? Why do Isaiah 66:24 and Daniel 12:2 talk about hell?
Because hell is true. It's a real thing.
That's in the Old Testament, and they don't believe in eternal suffering.
Well, you mean the Jews. A lot of Jews don't. That's true. But... you know, it doesn't mean what they believe is right or wrong just because they're Jews. Just remember, a lot of the Jews rejected the Messiah. So those who are left are those who have not heard or listened to the voice of God. So they will be able to hear the Word of God in some areas and understand, but there's certain spiritual aspects of things that they don't. So Isaiah 66:24, then they'll go back and forth, look for the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for the worm will not die, and their fire will not be quenched, and they'll be an abhorrence to all mankind. So this is an illustration of eternal judgment upon them. So, of course, it's there. Now, sometimes what they'll do is they'll say, the worm doesn't die. Oh, but worms do die. And the fire's not quenched. Of course fires are quenched. And what they do is they take literalness, then they apply it to the illustration, and then they reinterpret the illustration to say it's not literal. Well, there's fire. If it's the worm will not die, it's the illustration of the burning fire outside of Jerusalem in Gehenna, the valley, that it was just constant fire and worms and refuse down there. And it was an illustration of where they would be sent. Okay, go ahead.
And Daniel 12:2.
Daniel 12:2. many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, those to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. So the way that they can interpret this, the soul sleepers will interpret this, and some annihilationists will. They're asleep, they're unconscious soul sleep, which doesn't necessitate that. They will awake.
It sounds like a JW.
Yeah, and there's some serious problems with the soul sleep view, especially among Christians. Some really serious problems, and I mean major serious problems. I can show it to people. But he says in Daniel 12:2, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace or everlasting contempt. Well, we could use that as a judgment, as eternal judgment upon the wicked. But they might say, well, the everlasting contempt and disgrace is our attitude towards them. And they're annihilated, or they go back to soul sleep for a while, then they're annihilated, or whatever. And so that's why we have contempt for them, as though that's the judgment. But it's not. It wouldn't make any sense. Their judgment is our disdain for them? Of course not. So there are people who try very frequently to twist the Word of God into their particular theological perspective, and that's one of them. Okay.
It confuses me with them having it written in the Old Testament, of course, and then if you go to the New Testament, there's three hells. Or eternal, because hell disappears, but eternal suffering, there's three of those, and three of eternal suffering, and three heavens, if I'm correct.
Well, there's three heavens that are mentioned, the heaven, the dwelling place of God, the stars and the sun, and then the clouds and the trees. These are the ranges that are spoken about. I'm not familiar. There are different words used to describe different aspects of what we call hell, and in the Old Testament. So there's Gehenna, Sheol. I'm trying to remember the other ones. I think those are the two major ones. In the New Testament, there's Tartarus, and I think there's other places in the Old Testament that just talks about just fiery judgment. So
yeah, because I think it's the last verse of Revelation where it's, I forgot what it was, 12 something, that he says that it's eternal suffering.
But yeah,
it also mentions that John saw three, the highest one, where Christ and God is with the angels. All of them have wings in their head and their back and in their foot.
Yeah, that's an illustration. Yeah, that's illustration, yes.
Yeah, illustration,
But the book of Revelation does talk about torment day and night forever and ever. For example, Revelation 20:10, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that's Revelation 20:10. I think it's also 14:11. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, whoever receives the mark of his name. And there's lots of New Testament verses as well. Mark 3:29, for example. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but he's guilty of an eternal sin. So, yeah. Okay, there's the music. You want to hold on?
It just makes me wonder why the Jews
we got a break.
Don't...
Oh, hold on, buddy. Yeah. We got a break. Okay, so hold on for the break. All right.
Okay.
Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. Oh, I dropped him accidentally instead of hitting hold. My bad. My apologies. But if you want to call, the number is 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show, the last segment of the hour. Let's get back on with Nate. Sorry about that, buddy. Accidentally hit the wrong button. Glad you called back.
Nah, no problem. I just want to know, because every Jew that I speak with, who's a friend of mine, they do not believe, and I always ask them why.
Don't believe.
You know, you're gonna, the earth for you guys is suffering, and they just say that, you know, it's just a regular earth, not ours, but so they're still waiting for the Messiah, supposedly, yeah. And I find it strange, you know?
Yeah. They've been taught what they've been taught over years, and they deny who Christ is, and so they don't have truth yet. Okay. That's it. All right? This is what it is.
But if they haven't been taught that, then it's like, they haven't read that part of because it's ours also, the Old Testament, what it says there.
Yeah, I know. But this, you know, if you ask why, you have to ask different Jews why they affirm or don't affirm. So that's it. There's just different ones. But generically speaking, they don't have the Spirit of God, and they have had to deny a lot of the Old Testament in order to continue to deny who Christ is. So they're not really committed to the depth of Scripture. And so then, therefore, they're not going to believe in those things, generally speaking. Okay?
Yeah, well, okay. I just pray for them because I pray for everyone.
Good.
Everyone needs prayer.
That's what you should do. Absolutely.
So, God bless. Okay. And as always, may the Lord bless you and the family and everyone.
You too, Matt. God bless and thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, let's get to Jeremy from Kentucky. Jeremy, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Brother Slick.
Sure.
So, my question, I was listening to your show from Friday. And you had a caller who was asking about the inheritance of the Holy Land. And you said, you know, the promises to Abraham, they would inherit the land. Have you ever given thought that that would belong to the spiritual Israel if you perceive them as being those in Christ, and only the promises can be given to those in Christ, therefore being the indivisible church?
Well, then you'd have to spiritualize what it means for God covenantally to say to Abraham that he will give them the land of Canaan, which is a specific geographical area. And so that's what he has promised.
Okay. Right. Joshua said he had the land. Wouldn't we see the land fulfillment within Joshua's day? Because Abraham didn't possess it. Jacob didn't possess it. But then we read in Joshua that that was their land. He drove out the seven different countries. So if we see a land fulfillment within the, I just given it thought that that would actually belong to the church, like we the,
but it's not.
Those in Christ should be the meek inheriting the earth. Like, in all honesty, wouldn't the whole earth be inherited to us?
No. Israel's proper. God gave a physical location. That's what he did. To spiritualize it now, say now Israel doesn't belong to them. Now the land belongs to the Christians. It doesn't flow. And furthermore, in Romans 11:25, I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you'll not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, etc. This is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not done covenantally with Israel. And part of the Abrahamic covenant was to give the land to the Jews. So they're in the land now. Okay.
Yeah. We see Jews saved every single day, but they have no other entrance into the covenant other than being in Christ. So we would have to see a revival with the Jews.
Wait.
Which the new covenant?
Okay, the new covenant.
The new covenant. Right.
Right. So, yeah, they need the entrance of the new covenant, generically speaking, through Christ. But there's some evidence that I found in Hebrews that suggests that people can be in the new covenant and not really be Christians. I know that's a little controversial, but I found some of that suggests
that.
Because of Hebrews 11, where was that? 20. Oh, I got to find it.
Let me pull that up.
No, 10. It's Hebrews 10. And I have to go through this some more. But 28 and 29. Hebrews 10, 28 and 29. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So he's talking about Old Testament stuff. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, that's Jesus, and is regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant, that's the new covenant, by which he was sanctified, it's set apart. Doesn't mean he's saved. Sanctification doesn't necessitate that. And has insulted the Spirit of grace. These are new covenant terms. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I have to do more research, but it looks like people can be entered into the new covenant. And when Jeremiah 31 talks about the covenant, there's three aspects of the covenant of Jeremiah 31. A lot of times people only get one aspect of Jeremiah 31:31. But in Jeremiah 31, let's see, it's been a while since I've gone through this. Sorry, really fast. It says, starting at verse 27. Go ahead.
If we just start at 9, he says he does away with the old covenant to bring in the new. So we see the fulfillment with Christ, with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant with Christ.
Yes.
And it is an everlasting promise, so we'll experience the blessings of it. But I don't see how we can get, because we have to, I mean, 10's right after 9. Of course, 10's right after 9.
You've got to finish your sentences. You don't see how we can get, and then you go into something else. What's the finish?
I don't see how we could get people into the new covenant without them being into Christ.
Well, that's the question that's raised in Hebrews 10, 27, 28. That's the question. That's all I'm saying is, it's a question. Because Hebrews 10, for example, Hebrews 10, 26. This is stuff I'm going through, trying to figure out. Haven't got it all figured out yet. Okay, I'm working through it.
Yeah.
So it says, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, are no longer made a sacrifice for sin. Okay? So he's talking to the Hebrews, but a terrifying expectation of the fire, etc. Anyone who sets aside the law of Moses, he's talking to Hebrews. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who's trampled underfoot the Son of God and regard as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified has been and insulted the Spirit of grace? I'll get a sneeze. Hold on. Oh, sorry about that.
Bless you, brother. Bless you. Yeah.
Thanks. And so when I read that, I go, man, that's a toughie, because I've always thought the new covenant was only for believers, because God will write on their hearts all this stuff. However, not necessarily. So if you're to go to Jeremiah 31, this is a little homework assignment. It's kind of a fun one. I'm still got to work through it. In verse 27, it says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. In verse 31, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. In verse 38, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. So there's three specific things. It looks like past, present, future kind of stuff that goes on there in that covenant. So, and I'm looking at this, and I haven't got it all figured out. The new covenant was, this is my notes, was prophesied in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament when Jesus instituted the supper. It was ratified with the death of Christ. The new covenant replaced the old covenant and included both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus said the blood of the new covenant is poured out for many. Now that's interesting. He didn't say everyone, but many. And that's a significant word theologically I never hear anybody talk about. But I know the term the many has a theological significance in the writings of Paul. But anyway, the new covenant sign is the cup of the Lord's Supper, which represents the shedding of Christ's blood. and on the cross. Now, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus is the priest of the new covenant, etc. Those in the new covenant will have God's law written on their hearts. Their sins will be forgiven, etc. Okay, so that's what they say. And I go, yeah, that's what it says. That's exactly what it says. However, when we go to, let me get back over there, I'm going to move this window. It says in chapter of Jeremiah, it says in verse 27, as I have watched over them to pluck them, to break them down, to overthrow them, to destroy them. This is past tense. It says, I will watch over them to build and plant. This is part of the covenant, the new covenant. He's talking about Israel. Then he says, behold, in verse 31, he says, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, this is what confuses the bejeebers out of me. I'm still there. Still confused about this. The new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The house of Israel is the biological line. That's the biological line. That's what it always means. The house of Israel, the house of Judah. They were divided at that time, but they were descendants of Abraham. It says, not like the covenant made before. I'll put my law within them, etc. We know about that. And then, in verse 38, declares the Lord, days are coming, when the city will be rebuilt for the Lord from the Tower of Hanel. It's a bunch of areas in Jerusalem area. It says, it will not be plucked up or overthrown anymore. This seems to be part of the new covenant, but that's not in place yet. So this is why I'm going, okay, the new covenant has aspects, past, present, and future, and yet in Hebrews 10:28, it looks like people can break the covenant inside of it, which is covenantal language. And Jeremiah 31 suggests the covenant's future too. So it's like, oh, I got to figure it out.
I know that feeling, absolutely. As a president, you would claim Presbyterianism over any other thing, correct?
Yeah, Presbyterian is just a shorthand view of saying what I believe.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm closer to that than I go to a Reformed Baptist church, but I'm probably closer to a Presbyterian belief in most practices.
But Hebrews 10:29 would support Presbyterianism. It would.
Right, that's what I was about to say, because we have covenant children that could walk away without ever being truly in, and, I mean, treating your child as a covenant member and actually giving them the sign and all that, so that we have an answer for that. Is there anything in the Old Testament?
Hold on, we got a break. We're at the end of the show. The music's going. We just can't go. Call back tomorrow. Let's talk about it, okay? All right,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
All right, God bless.
You have a blessed day, brother.
You too. And Jim from North Carolina, where did sin originate? Oh, good question. Call back tomorrow. We'll talk. God bless everybody. Have a good evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.